You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, OBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. You know, when it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and seven-year security blanket. That's teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp,
the only one,
platinum-level service provider in town. Try finding another one. You won't. So OBM can tackle any of your copier problems. And you'll never, Nathan, never scramble, although I've seen you move around in the pocket. It's not bad to keep your office running.
It's more of a shuffle.
Better than a kerfuffle. Right. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns. Visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. It's a football Monday. We're talking O-line.
Training camp week.
It's training camp week. Position previews. Camp opening. All players reporting on Friday to Berea, just to get everybody up to speed with the schedule. Rookies will be coming in the 23rd, so that is just in a matter of 2 days that we're going to get rookies aboard here and first-year players. Guys, of course, coming back from injury. Then come Friday, the entire roster shows up. Then comes Saturday, everybody's on the practice field Saturday morning, including us. The two of us will be out there watching that first practice tone setter. And by the way, just as a reminder, if you're planning to go to practice, folks, go to clevelandbrowns.com and register, because that's how you're getting in. You got to register to get into camp. It's a different procedure than past years where you just kind of showed up here to Berea and got out there. The anticipation of the larger crowds and such will mean that you got to register for camp.
Yes, indeed. And you talked about the rookies reporting Wednesday. Also, the quarterbacks report on Wednesday,
right,
whether they are rookies or not. Brian Hoyer, Johnny Manziel, probably the hottest training camp battle that we will see. And it's interesting, Johnny Manziel, it was announced today, leads the NFL in jersey sales. As the article on NFL.com says, he's number two on the depth chart, but number one at the cash register. He has been number one in jersey sales. The passer's number two garb outsold all others during the first quarter of the league's fiscal year. And it's interesting, this is the highest the Browns players finished since the NFL began tracking individual player sales since 2001. And Brady Quinn, last time, number two. That's the highest he ever got, 2007, but plummeted. Johnny Manziel, number one in jersey sales. But as we said, number two on the depth chart. The starter going into camp, as Mike Pettine has said, will be Brian Hoyer, the veteran quarterback, the cerebral assassin, as I like to call him, who wins with his mind out there on the field. Now, the lead not insurmountable, but Hoyer is the starter, and he was on Mike and Mike this morning, and he was asked, how did you feel when Johnny Manziel was drafted?
It was actually almost a relief that when it was over, because I knew exactly where it was and who it was going to be that I was going to be competing with. And I think for me, I've had to compete my whole career. You know, I have a limited, you know, resume, and I'm coming off of a major surgery. So I think everything was expected. And,
you know, interesting that he described it that way, the relief aspect, because he knew all along this team was thinking quarterback, and he was being very honest, I think, with his feelings. And obviously he knew the distinct possibility that it could be Johnny Manziel. This is a whole different narrative if this football team drafted any other rookie quarterback, right? I mean, if they no matter who this was, but if we were talking Blake Bortles, who ended up being the third overall pick, Theodore, your guy, Teddy Bridgewater, if they went down with just about any other guy at that position, you're saying, yeah, they've got a rookie who would be an impactful player at some point on this football team, but was drafted to be a starter eventually, but by no means is the weight of this thing going to compare at all to what this, you know, what this club has right now with regard to the Manziel thing. And he calls it a relief to kind of just have it, I think, put aside. But you just wonder the mindset, the psyche of Brian Hoyer with Manziel here. He was asked, who do you want to be the starting quarterback of the Browns?
When it comes down to it, I want the best quarterback to play for this team. I don't. If that's not me, then that's fine. You know, especially being from here, I want this team to succeed. So I'm going to, go out there and play to the best of my ability, and he's going to do the same, and whoever earns it will be out on the field.
Interesting answer. Because I would like him to say, I should be the starting quarterback of
Cleveland
Browns.
Yeah, it was pretty
Browns.
Political.
And it was very political,
PC.
And it was interesting, because I wonder what their relationship will be like until a decision is made. And I wonder if they're going to have a different relationship now than they will once a decision is made one way or the other, where somebody becomes a starter. Like at that point, if let's say Johnny Manziel beats him out, does then Brian Hoyer feel, okay, now I need to be the mentor? Because right now they're in a competition. I don't think Brian Hoyer is eager to be sharing all of his secrets with Johnny Manziel just yet. So I think it's a very interesting dynamic. I do want my quarterback to say that I'm the guy, and I know that he believes he's the guy, so I think he was just giving a political answer there, which sure. is absolutely fine and part of, you know, again, his smarts, and that's what he does so well. I think that, you know, we here in Cleveland are kind of in a bubble about this quarterback situation, because I thought it was very interesting when I went on the Peter Schrager podcast, our guy from Fox, and I talked about this mm-hmm. a little bit last week, but just how in his mind it was so black and white. Johnny Manziel's your starter. You're talking about a journeyman quarterback who, you know, wasn't on a roster until right before training camp last year, was brought in by Lombardi, won two games, and is coming off of a torn ACL. Like, why would you even think about starting this guy over Johnny Manziel? Whereas in Cleveland, and I think in this building as well, there's a lot of respect for what Brian Hoyer did last
year.
For sure. There's a lot of respect for the way that he plays the game from learning under Tom Brady. And I think when you look at Johnny Manziel and you look at Brian Hoyer, in many ways, they're totally different. I think Johnny Manziel, immense physical gifts, probably going to be a better game player than a practice player, not necessarily so cerebral yet, more relies on his athletic abilities, whereas Brian Hoyer, totally cerebral, understands what he's supposed to do, makes right decisions with the football, might not get you as many chunk plays, but he's not going to turn the ball over as much either. And it's a very interesting kind of dichotomy in the two quarterbacks. And I think it's, when you ultimately break it down, I think it is will be in the best interest of this team to make this decision as quickly as possible, because you really are going to have two very different looking offenses depending on who your starting quarterback is.
Without doubt, without a doubt, and it gives you obviously maximum time to get everybody acclimated to what that offense is going to be like with regard to who's at quarterback. But to your point about respect, yes, respect for Hoyer, what he's done. Respect for what he means as a leader, and I think he's got that natural quality. Johnny Manziel, by the way, is an exceptional leader in his own right, but a different style, more fiery approach. I think Hoyer's is more along the lines of, hey, respect and trust me because I'm going to show it to you more than I'm going to talk it to you. But here's the thing, too. It's respect for what this team's philosophy is right now, and the philosophy is defense first. They're going to build this club to have success as quickly as possible with a strong defense. That is the master plan. Have a strong defense, run the football well, because it'll optimize what your defense is doing, and have a quarterback who, while making plays, is mostly not making mistakes. And I think that respect for the process is what gives Hoyer the initial edge here going into the season, and maybe in the ideal scenario, you're allowed. He's the one, provided he stays on rails through this preseason and such, training camp preseason, and is consistent, that you could say, okay, put the season in his hands at least at the outset, and allow Johnny Manziel to kind of develop as he's watching, work out the kinks, see how much he knows. You can monitor that stuff in meetings. Kyle Shanahan, Dowell Loggins, the quarterback's coach, they're going to know every day who's in tune and how they're getting it. But you're so right. The one thing you're never really going to know about Manziel is how it's going to look in a game based on a practice. Because if you base it on practice, it's always going to look ugly. I spoke with from Tech, I talked to three coaches who were one current, two former at A&M. They said his practices were ugly. And you have to get over that because it'll be a whole different story on game day. And obviously it was.
He's a gamer. A lot of the stuff that he does is based on improv. And I think that when you watch a competition like you're going to see in training camp, where for the most part it's basically pocket passing, that's really what's on display. Now, I'm sure he will show some of the things off in the 11-on-11s when there are pads and people are trying to get after him. But, you know, for the most part, that's going to be an interesting thing. And how do you as a coach really know when he is ready? And I think you have made a great point. It's going to come from what he's saying in the meeting rooms, because you know that if he understands it and can execute it, that it's going to go to another level in theory with him in a game situation. And I think you also made a very good point that kind of trust in Brian Hoyer, that respect of him to be able to come in and manage the game, manage the team, manage the offense, and knowing that you open the season on the road in Pittsburgh is why I still believe, unless Johnny Manziel blows us all away with how much he truly did study while he was on his tours this summer and is mentally ready to compete, I don't know that he's going to be at a point where the coaches are going to feel comfortable putting him out there. I think if it's close or there's any doubt that it's going to be Brian Hoyer week number one. Now, if Johnny Manziel did study and blows us away and comes back and blows the coaches away and mentally made tremendous strides and took advantage of that time, he'll have the opportunity to have his physical gifts take over and start week number one. I mean, you've seen it. Russell Wilson started from week number one against the guy, Matt Flynn, who at the time was probably – if you were to say, where's Brian Hoyer in the league's mind today versus where was Matt Flynn when he was signed after that great game in Green Bay to go to Seattle and be the guy, there's no question that the league, while they would have been erroneous, would have regarded Matt Flynn as a better starting quarterback candidate than Brian Hoyer headed into that season for Seattle when Russell Wilson came in and blew him away.
No doubt about that. On his appearance on Mike and Mike this morning, Brian Hoyer was asked how he thought he played last season.
Good for, you know, really my first starts. I mean, I started with Arizona the year before, but I'd only been there for 2 weeks. You know, an opportunity is going to come along at some point, and you just want to take advantage of it when it does. And I felt like I was doing that. And now I'm just trying to, you know, get back and pick things up where I left them off last year.
And he did play well. He goes into Minnesota, and while he had the hiccups, he had the three interceptions. He did put the drive together at the end, found Jordan Cameron for the game-winning touchdown. And then he played well against Cincinnati, two passing touchdowns in that game, 17-6 win for the Browns over a playoff team in Cincinnati. So, yes, I thought that he did well in those limited games. What's going to be very interesting, what we never got a chance to see, is how would Brian Hoyer do against defenses once they had enough tape on him to try to put him and take away the things that he does very well. And that's going to be the real test, and I think we're going to get a little bit of a taste of that this year. And Brian Hoyer is going to be a guy I think mentally will be able to counterpunch. Can he physically? That'll be the big question for him. But he did play well, and I think, you know, he's in the position he should be in based on what he did last year and the fact that you have a rookie quarterback coming in.
And it is a very narrow window of judgment to say how well he did play. But if you just go by what you see in terms of the plays, and that's all he had available to him. That's all we have available to us to judge him, and they were strong plays. It's silly to speculate how the rest of it would look. You tend to give the person who did well in whatever opportunity he had the benefit of the doubt that he would have done well in other opportunities, but that's saying a lot. I mean, that's different defenses, that's different circumstances, but he stepped up when he had to step up, and I'll give him this much. I think his tight as that window of opportunity was, the thing that enhances it is the horrendous surrounding that you had offensively. No running game, other quarterbacks who were struggling, inconsistency, a lack of continuity, climbing out from the bottom of the quarterback depth chart and training camp to get to where he was. So he wasn't even in a position to be the guy. He wasn't being prepared to be the guy. He overcame really a hell of a lot, Nathan, to be whatever he was. I think people have gotten that. They throw that all into the overarching theme of local kid makes good, right?
For sure. And listen, that's why I think there is such a different feeling about Brian Hoyer here and the people we interact with on this show, and the people we interact with on Twitter in Cleveland, than when you talk to somebody in the national media. In the national media, it actually becomes it's an entirely different conversation, and one that I think, you know, is in some ways, I thought I understand the rationale that Peter was making, but at the same time, I also think that, as I've said before, you can go to the playoffs with Brian Hoyer as your quarterback. I believe that. I felt that, and I still believe
there's,
it.
There's a fair amount of that. What's influencing this national perspective, and I hear the same thing you do. We had Steve Wyche on this show last week from NFL Network, NFL.com, said the same thing. Manziel's going to be the guy opening day, and said it matter-of-factly. And going into that thinking, too, is an idea that people have Jimmy Haslam figured out. They figure this owner wants the splash player, wants to make that impact. Obviously, very disappointed in his two-year run as an owner of this football team so far, or mostly a part of 2 years, that by no means has he seen anything approaching what he intended it to be by pouring all the resources that he so far has poured into this club, and that Johnny Manziel is his guy, that a guy that he wanted. And, of course, the anecdote about the text and the conversation with Dow Loggins and Jimmy Haslam on draft day and come get me and all this other stuff, is playing into that national thinking as well. And that's understandable, but I firmly believe on that one, Jimmy Haslam is leaving it to his coaching staff.
Absolutely.
To make the right decision. He is not inserting himself in that. He's not that dumb. That would be a silly, dumb thing to do, and I don't think the owner of this football team is that dumb to say, look, you guys can run everything else. I'm going to tell you on this quarterback thing, you got to do it the way I'm telling you to do it on this one. Yes, they drafted the guy, and yes, that guy was drafted to be the starter for a long time here in Cleveland, but the win on that, When the pie is baked and ready to come out of the oven on that one, that's the great unknown. I have no feel to tell you that as others presume nationally, oh, yeah, that's happening on day one. I'm not prepared to say that is the case. I'm also not prepared to say that won't be the case.
Agreed.
But I think we've got to let it.
It's a competition.
It's going to play out.
It's a competition between Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel. And listen, Jimmy Haslam has said it many times. He is here to win. That's ultimately what he wants to do, and he's going to leave it up to his coaches to decide who puts this team in the best position to win. And we know Mike Pettine has final call over the 53-man roster and who plays, and Mike Pettine will make that decision. Again, Brian Hoyer in the lead, not insurmountable. But one thing that will make the challenge more difficult for either of these quarterbacks is the ruling that we are expecting to be handed down on Josh Gordon sooner rather than later. And when he was on Mike and Mike today, Brian Hoyer was asked if he had spoken to Josh Gordon.
I've reached out to him. I'd like to keep that between he and I. And I think just, the main thing is that we're here to support him and help him get through this time.
Okay. Yeah, and that's a fair answer from Brian. And you're right. I think that news comes down any day now. That seems to be the prevailing theory or thought around the country and certainly around here in Cleveland. And you hope, again, with reporting day on Friday, with practice beginning Saturday, that this gets resolved and you can really literally turn the page on it, because there's no page turning until that hearing is done and there's some sort of ruling from the NFL. We don't have exact timetable day on that, but it is coming soon.
And let me just say this. Yeah. I think it is absolute BS that the ruling has not been handed down one way or the other on Josh Gordon. You have a first-year head coach here.
Well, is it about the timing of the hearing, though?
But why couldn't it have been earlier?
Why couldn't they hear? Probably because people were on vacation.
We found out about this at the draft.
No, I know. I'm saying the hearing, maybe the people who had to be in the hearing room were on, chilling somewhere on their vacay. Well, I'm just saying it's a big time of year, as you know, in the NFL for vacations.
This is a big time player, and this is, I think,
you're hindering
unfair.
The Browns. You're hindering,
the Browns, because when you know exactly what it is that you're dealing with Josh Gordon, whether it be 6 games, whether it be 8 games, whether it be a full season but allowed to be around the team, whether it be a full season with banishment where he has to reapply. You need to know so that you can have your plans in place. And right now, we are on the week of training camp. The Browns will not have any idea. There is a chance that it could happen where he comes, is in training camp Saturday, is in training camp Sunday, and maybe it comes down on Monday, and then all of a sudden he's out there. So what do you do with him? What kind of reps do you give him? What are you supposed to do? How do you manage that?
No,
I think these are questions that should have been answered
for
the Browns.
I agree. I wish, and I'm sorry that this isn't the reality, but I'm pretty sure it's not the reality. I wish that at league headquarters on Park Avenue, the concern, the urgency that we share here about this football team was there, because that's the problem, is that they're not looking at the Browns with the same light as, hey, guys, we know this is important to you to get known, to be known as you're starting training camp. And you would think that would influence things and move the process along. But there are, as I understand it, many wheels that turn in this whole thing. And I think the greater concern is making a ruling that's going to stick, I guess, that overcomes whatever kind of challenges that Josh's representation is bringing to the table, and the precedent that it sets going forward. I think all of those are greater priorities than the Browns. To us, all we care about is how is it affecting our football team. A little different there in New York. All right, we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850. We want you to tweet us at Browns_daily, at VICCARUCCI, at NATHANZEGURA. Want those tweets? Want that feedback? Want that interaction? And we've got much more coming up for you on CBD. Yes, sir.